The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. Last time we had looked at a summary of the accounts of the creation as they appear in Genesis 2, had looked at something of the details of that. And part of the reason for that is simply to establish the fact that there are not two accounts or more than one account of creation in the Scripture. There are many places in the Scripture where you have references to creation by a variety of authors. Some are of the opinion that if we would simply snip out the first 11 chapters of Genesis and perhaps John 1 and a few other assorted passages in the Scripture, we would be finished with the idea of creation. And that, of course, simply is not true. There are dozens of references in the Scripture to the idea of creation. By way of summing this up, I think it's important that we understand that the most important source of evidence, the most authoritative source of evidence or information about creation, has to be found in the Scripture. It is apparent there was no human around to observe what was going on. And the fact is that the only way we can have information about those events that occurred prior to man's coming is simply to have someone who was there tell us about it. And this, of course, is exactly what we claim we have in the Scripture, that we have in the Scripture God's revelation about those things which he has made. I have commented before about the idea there are a lot of things about creation that I wish God had seen fit to tell us, and he didn't. But the fact remains that we can have no more authoritative source than this. If a person is attempting to derive information or, in fact, create information about the idea of creation apart from Scripture, which is exactly what he's doing, there really is no basis in that other than his own imagination. If a person takes the position, first of all, if he rejects the creation account, or, number two, if he decides that that information has errors in it, that it is not trustworthy, then he puts himself in the position simply of forever having, being unable to have proper information about creation. You can read books. I have read authors' comments with regard to the flood, of course, that the Gilgamesh epic was another account of the biblical flood. Now, it doesn't take too much reading if you were to go and read that account to see the difference between that and the Scripture itself. Now, what I would like for us to do now is to look at two instances of statements about creation from a source other than Genesis 1. You'll recall, if you were listening last time, that we had looked at parts of John 1, which established who the Word was. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and so on, and that the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the Creator. Since this is true, the most important, authoritative, trustworthy information about creation would come from that individual, from the Lord himself. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 19 and verse 4. And I want us to look here at a New Testament statement regarding the idea of the creation. In verse 4 of Matthew 9, the Lord is speaking. And think for a moment about the fact that here in the New Testament, the Lord, in making comments about the creation, was putting his seal of approval on the creation account in the Old Testament. So there are those who say, well, yes, I believe the New Testament. But the Old Testament's very different. It's fairy tales and folk tales, and they sort of got amalgamated into a book, etc., etc. Now, the fact is that there are probably hundreds of references in the New Testament to the Old Testament. And if the Old Testament is simply a collection of folk tales of some sort, then there is no way you can put much trust in what the New Testament says either. Now let's look at the Lord's comment here in Matthew 19 and verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Now here is the Creator himself making a comment about creation. Turn over, please, to Mark chapter 10 And let's notice verse 6. Mark 10 and verse 6. Let's go back to verse 5 to get the beginning of the Lord's statement here. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." Now again, bear in mind that it was the Creator himself who was speaking, the Lord himself who was speaking, and he is making a statement here, giving information about the creation of Adam and Eve. Now, one, the Lord was the Creator, and two, the Greek word for female here actually denotes a woman. With those two things in mind, note what really is being said. "But from the beginning of the creation, I made them male and woman." So here in the New Testament, we have a statement by the Creator telling us certain things about what actually happened. And you'll notice, I hope, the phrase from the beginning of the creation, which gives the lie to the idea that there was some sort of long family history of critters of one kind or another, starting with the amoeba, that went through millions and millions of years of evolution, and finally there ended up on the earth one fine spring day an animal which God looked down on and took what is referred to in Genesis 1 as the image of God and dropped that image of God into that animal, and that animal became man. The Lord's statement about it was, "From the beginning of the creation, I made them man and woman." Now again, for a person who does not wish to accept that statement, that's his problem. But it is critical for us to understand that we do have New Testament reinforcement, approval of the accounts that we read in the Old Testament itself. And in this case, a statement by the Creator telling us what he did. We're going to talk in coming programs a little bit about the relationship between science and creation itself. Is there any such relationship? Is there any, does it matter as far as science is concerned about whether creation occurred or not? And we'll talk about that a little bit. But here, I just use these two references to establish the fact that you do have in New Testament accounts many more than the two we've looked at, but these are examples of New Testament approval of or quoting of as being accurate statements of the creation in the Old Testament. So, for those of us again who accept the Scripture as being authoritative and trustworthy, inerrant in the autographs, then we have some, this ought to add to our confidence of the trustworthiness of the accounts of the creation in the Old Testament. If that account in the Old Testament is not authoritative, then this leaves us in a very interesting position. If the thing I'm getting to here is the authority of Scripture itself. If the Scripture is wrong when it speaks about matters of creation in Genesis 1, then it can just as easily be wrong when it speaks about matters of salvation in John 3. And the fact is, we either have available to us a trustworthy, authoritative revelation from God, or we don't know what it is. And of course, if the latter is true, then we get immediately to some theological problems regarding the matter of salvation. Paul addresses himself to these in 1 Corinthians 15. "If there be no resurrection from the dead, we are of all men most miserable," literally most pitiable. If the Bible is wrong when it speaks about matters of creation in Genesis 1, it can be wrong when it speaks about matters of resurrection through the New Testament. And here is a matter which is critically important to the whole question of salvation. So it is important for those of us who are Bible believers to understand that God's revelation to us is trustworthy, authoritative, accurate, complete, inerrant in the autographs. And we can read this revelation knowing that God has provided for us here everything that we need. Everything that we need. There is a very interesting statement in Ephesians chapter 1, dealing with the completeness of the Scripture itself. That statement in chapter 1, verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." This verse, of course, is simply indicating that God, well, to a theological argument, we at some point we will be exactly what this verse describes, holy and without blame. In a sense, we're that way now, but at least the basis of that, our becoming holy and without blame, of course, depends first of all on our trusting the Lord as our Savior. But after that time, where is the source of our instruction? Where is the basis of our knowing what we need to be and do in order to be holy? In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Now, this is a verse that sometimes gets whisked over, as the introduction to the second epistle of Peter. But the point, the word that I want you to give some thought to here is the word "all." "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So that what we have here in this book is complete. Everything that we need in order to be what God wants us to be, we find given to us in this book. And if that is the case, then obviously it has to be complete. It has to be inerrant. It has to be trustworthy. But it gives us everything that we need. Now, this is the nature of our faith in the Scripture itself. And the Scripture is abundantly plain that we have all that we need to have within the instruction, the context, the pages of this revelation that God has given to us. So we can pick it up and read the account of salvation in John 3 with confidence. We can pick it up and read the creation account in Genesis 1 with confidence and know that God has given to us all things that are necessary for us to be what he would have us to be.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson at bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614. In the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.